I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh my goodness, on a night where In Your House is making your return, NXT comes to you live from the Performance Center, and you know what? I gotta say, man, NXT and their storylines are pretty compact. People know what they're doing. People know where we're going. We got matches and promos, and we're talking about all of that today. But before we do, I introduce the all-star panel, Juicy First. She is one of my favorite people on the planet. She's a correspondent for Championship Wrestling from Arizona and is literally and actually Emmy-nominated. Give it up for Emily May.
Hey, everyone. I'm so excited. Woo! Another week of NXT with Flopo and Jim.
Yes. Look at this guy. We're talking Real Talker, has premium content, has regular content. Had an interview with a director. I can't even spoil. Maybe he might. Gonna ask him. He's Real Talker. Heel Jim Alexander.
That's a good promo. Yes, I did have a big interview on Real Talker with Josh Trank, the infamous Josh Trank. Okay, and of course, the Real Talker fashion, we go deep into it.
Dude, he's serious?
Us? Yeah, he's That's telling us guy. About his failures.
Of hey, right guy.
Sorry. Okay, I heard movies. And I just had to chime in.
Hey, Star Wars and Fantastic Four failures. We're talking all about it. He talks about his dark times. Now it's better times with Capone. Man, I break the news.
Check out Capone on VOD. Man.
Yeah, sounds the right guy. He was just gone, the puff of smoke. And as we were putting ourselves over, my man, Jack Farmer, and I had a sit-down interview with the one and only Vince Russo. Check it out now on AfterBuzz TV's Quarantine with the Stars. All right, NXT. Had some bros action, a lot of women's action, a lot of things, but let's start from the top. See, it looked like there's going to be a tag team match play. I didn't think too much of it, but Imperium actually walks away with the gold. The bros awaits are no more. Matt Riddle, Timothy Thatcher are all having those dust-ups and fisticuffs as they saved AEW Dynamite, and we have new tag team champions. Emily May, walk me through this. Is this too premature of a breakup for the bros awaits?
This is so soon. This is way too soon. I'm like so upset. I want more of those I was gonna call it
the Nudie Bro Show.
Yeah, then I was gonna call it a dating show. It's not quite that.
Hey, no judgments here.
But
I'd be more interested in that.
I want those game shows. They were having a great time, but you could tell Thatcher was not having it. So I could say that like it built up to a big moment, obviously, which we'll chat about tonight. But I still was holding on to a little bit more hope that there would still be some bro action happening.
I know, Jim, you love the Bros Away segment last week, but thoughts about this match and breakup?
Well, here's the thing. I feel kind of – I agree with the point Emily stated, but I feel two ways about this because clearly this was too quick of a jump. I mean, they jumped – like, give us at least two more weeks of it. I can do it then. They basically gave us 1 or 2 weeks of these guys and pulled the plug before anything even got established between them. I mean, now what is even the point of that talk show at all if you were going to break them out after 1 week? So I think they pulled it about 2 weeks too early, but ultimately it's the right move to do. As we're seeing, the other half of the tag team is not around, and we don't know when he's going to be back, right? So you can't predict or plan for the future in that way. So Riddle's too good to be a tag guy long term, right? So you needed to break him up into a singles. And Thatcher, listen, I think it could work more in his favor because he's now the aggressor, the attacker, the spotlight's on him now. And this is a guy that just debuted a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So I think it works a lot for Thatcher. It gives him credibility. It gives him a focus into him. And ultimately, this is a good move for Riddle because he needs to be a singles guy. That's what he is. And if you don't have the Broserweights, both of them together, this is really not much of a tag team.
Yeah, I must agree with you. I felt like what made them work, and I mean Pete Dunne and Matt Riddle, is that they were just so different and so complimentary, and Pete Dunne was a perfect straight man to Matt Riddle's antics. But I guess the other half of the story is this. Imperium hasn't been seen as a unit for the same reason, with Walter being stuck in Europe during his own COVID-19 quarantine. It looks like it's kind of half of an act. I want your thoughts about this first, Jim, because I know you're a tag team guy. What is the deal about Imperium having the tag team titles when there isn't Alexander Wolf, or there isn't the Walter in the picture?
Well, I think it's like, literally, you don't have many choices at this point. If you're going to drop the titles, who's really on that brand right now? They've taken a lot of tag teams over the last few months with Street Profits, Viking Raiders. All these teams have disappeared in a sense, and now you're really left with nothing, right? You even had Gargano in a little run with Ciampa. they were by default, I feel. Do they deserve it or earn it? Probably not. We've barely seen them. They're half of a group. They're the lesser half of Walter's, the obviously the king of that group. So I don't know if these are the guys, but what are the other options? Ole Larkin, whatever your guy is.
Yeah. Danny Burch, Ole Larkin. Throw him up.
Whatever. Who else? Like, I can't think of
Bivens, any Bivens Incorporated, the new team.
Too new. I mean, here's the thing. I don't know what happened to him, because those were guys I was even talking about taking a title soon, but they disappeared. And it's like, if they appeared tonight and got the titles after not being on for a couple of weeks, it would have felt weird. So now I feel they need to reintroduce them and keep them consistently on. So I just feel like it was a by default. They didn't have many choices. They had to get rid of the tag team title. So I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's a good opportunity for both Riddle and Thatcher to, I think Jim's right in the sense that they can break away. They can kind of have their own moment separately in singles competition. But I also feel like it didn't feel like an organic choice for me tonight to have it go to Imperium.
Well, to Jim's point, I feel like, well, what happens next, Emily, if you were the Phantom Booker?
Oh, gosh.
And now you have the tag team titles in Imperium. Who goes after them first?
I mean, like what you guys said, like we only have so many options. Unless they, unless they cross over somehow and there's like mixed brand action happening.
True.
Well, they took it to Raw. Brandon Vick would have been, and that tag team, but they're now with MVP. So they would have been a good kind of young tag team to at least give them, not maybe take the titles, but at least give them a run for it.
Yeah.
Or at least put them in a spotlight. Then, I mean, a lot of these tag teams have been taken away literally by either Garza. I mean, we had Austin Theory. All these guys are on Raw now. Mm-hmm. And hey, this would have been even a time if you ever wanted to build up. I think they're fine on SmackDown. But my boys, you know what I mean? We're talking about the Forgotten Sons. So they could have been.
You have so many boys, I was confused. Yeah.
I know, I was like, which boy?
Baron Corbin? I had no idea.
So it's really by default. The thing is, it's kind of weird how this NXT division has been so strong with tag teams. They were known for their tag teams, like as of a few months ago, and now they're stripped bare almost. And some of it's not their fault. I mean, you could have had the tag team of Tyler Bate, and a lot of them are overseas. They're stuck overseas, so you can't do much. So it's like whoever's available. So I think given the circumstances, like I get them taking a title. I guess you can go Ollie Larkin and Birch, you know, Dan, your boys could feud right now. And the titles are taken off. They can't be champs for long, the Imperium. I just don't see them being without Walter tag team champions for a long time. So the guys by the Indian boys, man, those guys, they should be the ones that taking the titles when they're established more in a month or so.
I mean, we'll see. There'll have to be some build up and more reveal to see if there's some tag teams waiting in the wings and we don't know yet.
Yeah, now's a matter of time. Before I move on, Emily May, can you do me a favor and tell the world how they can listen to this AfterBuzz show and other AfterBuzz shows on the interweb?
Yes! If you love wrestling, which I know you guys do, you can. You need to subscribe to AfterBuzz TV's Wrestling and Sports channel on YouTube. You need to catch us on Apple Podcasts and where you find your favorite podcasts. You can listen. Give us a 5-star review, because we love those, and it just helps us keep giving you quality content to get that wrestling fix on. So we love you guys, and we're happy that you join us every week.
Speaking of things I love, Indy Hartwell shows up and has a match against Tegan Knox. The match itself was pretty solid, but I think Indy Hartwell kind of proved a little bit more than Tegan. That's right, I said it. Could be a boot thing in a week if we're still doing that segment. I want your thoughts about the match, LMA, not because you're a woman, not because you co-host a Women's World Wrestling Weekly channel, but you have a good eye of seeing who has the highest upside here at NXT. Tegan Knox is somebody that's been around, but she hasn't broken through yet. And Indy Hartwell, this is one of the few times we've actually seen her save for a battle royal or a dark match. What do you think about this match, and who happens has the best upside going forward?
So I was a little torn when I was watching this match, because Tegan Knox, we've seen her compete in a spectrum of different levels against different competitors. We've seen her go through tons of competitors, winning, losing, kind of both, right? And I feel like she was very deliberate tonight, but I feel like Indy Hartwell showed that, like, she could go against someone like Tegan Knox. I feel like there was moments where she was maybe a little bit unsure, that she might not have been quite as in sync with Tegan Knox. I feel like that the pacing might have been a little bit off. But I feel like overall, she has a great look. She really can move in the ring. And I just, it's hard to go against someone like Tegan Knox, who has had so many competitors. But I also feel like Tegan Knox hasn't broken through yet. And so she needed a diverse competitor to kind of break up who she's been competing against. And hopefully it kind of like looses some things up to kind of bring her onto a different level.
So Jim, you were talking about Tegan Knox before. You're like, oh man, she's the eye, but you got separated from Dakota Kai.
That's right.
Jim Alexander impression. Now we're actually having her separate. Thoughts about this? Is this the right direction? And if it is, great. But if not, what has to happen next?
Well, here's the thing. That's what we needed. She separated from Dakota Kai. Let her just pick up some wins, right? Because she hasn't been consistently getting wins. She's been kind of booked, win 1 week, lose 1 week. Give her some progress, and I think she could be rightfully right up there to be the challenger for Charlotte's title very soon. I think she's got the skills, she's got the persona, she's got the charisma. I like her. I like her in a ring.
I like her too.
There's not much not to like about her. She's Italian, Australian. Okay, this is says for
that nothing to do with no. I don't care who she's from.
Listen, this has everything to do with it. She's good, and she just needs to be put away from Dakota Kai, and I think this is a good start to it.
Look, I don't know much about getting over. I don't know much about ability.
I do.
I know. That's what I'm trying to say. That's why I have a seat at the table, Jim. I'm good with characters. Now, I'll tell you what. I knew more about Tegan a year ago. Coming back from the Young Classic, coming from her injury, the whole flight school thing, the shiniest lizard. Now I just see someone in Captain Marvel cosplay every week, and I'm wondering, what is she about? That's my problem. I don't know why I can get behind that.
Floba, I see your point as well, that like there's a branding messaging issue here, where like she did, you're right, she like out of the Mae Young Classic and kind of leading up with the whole thing with Dakota Kai and all that, like it was a really strong story. It was really like got everyone involved, and you knew exactly who she was. And right now I feel like because she hasn't been able to branch out as much, I feel like she might be getting a little like her branding getting a little bit lost in the shuffle of everything.
Fair enough. I mean, the match to me was pretty solid. I want to see more of Indy Hartwell. I mean, she's known as Jessie Kamea, but that's just me.
That's you.
moving on, more interim cruiserweight classic action as Tony Nese versus Jake Atlas. Before we get to that, I'm a little confused, Jim, because you are also on the Raw show, so you know the main roster antics, right?
That's right.
With this quarantine, or with the self-imposed COVID-19, what have you, guys like Walter gets to keep his United Kingdom championship, right? Sami Zayn has to get his title stripped. And Jordan Devlin keeps his title, and there's an interim Cruiserweight Classic. Is this the right decision? Is having the interim champion the right decision? Or should we just have stripped Jordan Devlin and have this tournament for the actual Cruiserweight champion?
Gotta fill TV. They've been milking this tournament for weeks already. I've called it a sham, right? Because it is, technically. And it is. It's just filling in time for guys that are available, guys who could put on a match but are irrelevant in the big scale. I mean, who's really relevant? Maybe Kushida, maybe. But everyone else is pretty irrelevant. So just like it's a time filler for the show. And hell, you can crown your interim champion. Then when Jordan Devlin comes back, we'll kind of forget about Jordan Devlin being a champion because you have a title on the show. Someone will be prancing around with the title. And then when Devlin comes back, you have a built-in storyline. So I see their point in doing it. I just don't think it matters much because none of these guys are going to really be over with that title. I mean, whatever, winning this tournament. Maybe Kushida could get an extra bump, but I just don't see much a point of it besides filling time every week and something to kind of talk about during a show.
So would you prefer an interim tournament, or would you want a vacated title and a winner from this? This is what my question is.
No, it's fine to have an interim because then you have a built-in storyline with Jordan Devlin coming in there challenging for saying that they didn't win his titles. If you strip him of it, you have no built-in storyline for the future.
Fair. Emily?
You know, Jim, I have to say, I don't think it's fair to say it's a sham, this like whole tournament and stuff like that, because these wrestlers are here, they're doing their thing every week. You have, like, they're going to come back even stronger. You're going to build the storyline of, you know, Devlin coming back, and like, then they'll figure out if it's a vacating the title or if there's going to be like a, you know, a build to this big, you know, competition for him to get it back. They're adapting to the times, they're creating content, they're trying to keep us entertained. And so I wouldn't say that, like, that it's a whole sham. I feel like it's still great and we're still talking about it.
It's a pointless tournament because I don't think it elevates anyone really. Because even if you become the interim champion, you're still an interim champion in a sense. It's all towards building a storyline for Devlin, technically. It's all about Devlin, really. He's over this more than anyone else.
I mean, I feel like if you're on TV every week, which this is an opportunity for these wrestlers to be, then you are getting this opportunity, and that's a win. So,
I mean, it's fine. You're getting to wrestle. They're filling in time. They need someone to fill in time right now. That's why you're seeing Kushida on Raw getting squashed every week. They need people. They need bodies. It's about same thing. Kushida's, well, actually, yeah. No, Kushida could be over, actually. I'll give you credit for that. Kushida actually has a gimmick and a character. Yeah. But they're not over to the point they should be. Okay, these guys. We're talking about the guys, but they're workers, they're available. So yeah, sure, give them a shot. This is their only shot they'll probably get otherwise, because they won't be on these shows when it matters, when people are gonna be coming back. But I'm just saying it doesn't do much to elevate them going forward. No one's gonna become a star from this tournament or anything like that. You're not gonna even have a real title.
Well, in my opinion, the one guy who was getting elevated from this tournament is actually the next match. Tony Nese had a match against Jake Atlas, someone that had from the local SoCal area, and he's so proud getting the win. Tony Atlas, a former Cruiserweight champion, could not win a match in this round-robin tournament, which we'll play a little bit later. Tony Nese is a specimen. He's a small guy. He's a short guy, but he is ripped. If anyone's elevated, I think it'd be Jake Atlas, no?
Jake Atlas is a star.
In what world?
Okay, first of all, I've known him from like the SoCal circuit.
No,
like,
okay, I get it.
Okay, so don't do that, Jim. So the fact that, the fact that like he has agility and he can like really move in the ring. He's bringing more like creative energy that I've seen a while in NXT. He's making people work for it. He's making people really think about the moves they're going to make and make it deliberate and make it interesting. And his promos are really good. You know, the promo before where he's like, yeah, I got to do my business. I have to go and do this thing. Like he has this like relaxed energy when he does his promos that make me feel like, okay, I could like hang out with him, be his friend, but then once he transitions into the ring, he's a whole other personality. So I like how it's a little bit different than what we've seen.
Yeah, I agree. Jim does not.
He's just a guy.
I disagree. They wouldn't be giving him this opportunity if they didn't believe in him and that he couldn't elevate the NXT brand. Yes, he's a new signee.
They have 20 new guys. You can't elevate all of them. You have Austin Theory. You have a bunch of new guys that they're trying to elevate. This doesn't make him special just because he's a newer guy or someone that they're bringing up.
It makes him special because he's bringing something new to the brand.
Allow me to cut a promo, right?
Cut a promo, Flobo, go.
Here he am, little Flobito, right? On his knees praying, saying, oh, Lord above, I hope when I'm of age, I get to be an AfterBuzz host. I come all the way to California, I do the AfterBuzz training, and for months, I wait for a show. An opportunity finally arises. I am given Raw. I'm given NXT because the person before me called up to the biggest show of them all. And Jim is like, you're just a guy? Just a guy? Come on, Jim.
Just the guy. Hey, you want everyone to be a star, and technically, oh, he's great, he's doing this, he's making him think. Well, what are, I mean, what are these zombies in a ring? They're not thinking when they're wrestling anyone else. I mean, it's not a point to really make to back this guy up and just being something special. He's a worker. He's fine. He's a body right now. I don't think he's anything special. He's not horrible. He's not like some bum that, you know, I mean, that's a complete jobber for life. But I mean, I don't see anything special in this guy to like elevate him like he's some best thing since sliced bread, you know, that he's something spectacular, because he's not. He's just a guy. He's okay at best in what he does. Everyone can wrestle in NXT. There's nothing special about being a good wrestler in NXT. Everyone does that.
Just okay.
Disagree.
Okay.
That's okay.
Yeah,
hey, you right. know him. I don't.
That's all right. Maybe, that's all right. We'll just we'll politely disagree.
Because you can't strangle you through a video call. So this week, Error had a promo, which a guy in a weird way explains where Kyle O'Reilly's been. He's making the movie. Hey, it's comedy inside an NXT episode on Monday Night Jam. We talked about comedy and maybe it'd be too childish and raw. Did tonight work for you, Sire? Was it comedy enough for it to be serious, or was it too juvenile?
Well, look at the guys involved, right? We're talking about guys who've technically been so serious, taking over the brand. They've been the bandits of NXT, right, for a year plus. The ass kickers, the guys who are taking over, right? That now it's comedy time, really? So, hey, listen, if they want to change up their direction, if this means like now they're not going to be treated as the end-all, be-all on NXT as they were, that's fine. I don't think they should be at that spot. They've been at that spot. They've worn out their welcome and their minute's been up. So if you want to do some comedy, okay. But I just think the way you booked him for the past year to jump him to this kind of stuff, kind of a quick turnaround, at least level them off a little bit, not take him.
If you book NXT, it'll just be Diamond Dijakovic for 2 hours.
My boy. Okay.
Whatever.
Emily just him in the ring, no one else.
Emily,
no
man, talk about the promo, man. I can't tonight.
Okay. You got to try new stuff, right? You got to keep it fresh. You got to try different promos and things like that, that, you know, you might not get to, like, this is the opportunity. This is the time to do it. So I'm all for it. I'm all for it. You got to try it. And sometimes it's going to work. Sometimes it's not, but you got to go for it.
So Emily, let me ask you your thoughts about the Karrion Kross promo, right? Yeah. It's a lot more serious and he's like, yeah, I'm taking over.
I mean, I love the look that they're presenting. I love the media packages they're producing, behind this team, and they're gonna bring a really interesting look and vibe to NXT. And I know we saw a little bit of it before the last few weeks, but I like it. It's elevating not only the production of NXT as a whole, but it just makes us wonder as fans, like, okay, what is gonna be their next step, and who are they going to compete against next? And is there someone that that can kind of, like, story-wise, get in there and, like, cause some problems?
So here's the thing I have with the Karrion Kross promo. Maybe you can agree or disagree. So this guy, I'm still on the fence. He's amazing, though. The entrance was phenomenal.
So good.
The promo tonight was
you. Got to be more than an entrance. Right.
True. But we only have one match. You can't judge him too harshly on one match.
Right.
Yeah.
But here's my hang up, and it's a very deep cut if you're an older fan like myself. They use that same End Is Near song like a dozen times with a different number of things, whether it's Survivor Series or whatever. That End Is Near Armageddon theme song, to me, it was so stale, it kind of killed everything that was fresh about Karrion Kross. That's my opinion. Okay. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Listen, they should put Legends Rise, okay? That would have been great.
Legends Rise.
You can't beat up a guy over a song. I mean, come on.
I will.
That's just being petty. In that
he
case.
Can do what he wants.
Wait, you said I'm being petty? You said I'm being petty?
Well, if you're stripping him down to that.
Yes, I am.
Just like the guy is, he's got a presentation. He's got a look. He's got everything going for him. He's got better things going for him than 90% of that roster right now. And to pick apart and nitpick at this point where you're seeing the Undisputed Era do comedy shticks, Johnny Gargano is a clown show that's making me bleed from my eyes. And you have Karrion Kross, who is a presentable, viable star from day one on this brand. So, I mean, the music they pick, listen, the guy we've seen only one time, he worked in a ring. I'm curious to see when you have curiosity about someone, when you want to see him continuously, when you have interest in him and excitement about him, that's selling right now. That's buying a stock in something. And for me, it's a little thing like music or whatever played out. That's not even his call, technically. So it does nothing to diminish what he could be and what he is right now.
I know
Legends rise next time.
Quick announcement, June 7th, NXT presents In Your House is a takeover event that's in your house with everyone being in the quarantine. That's pretty cool. But before we move on to our next match, it's now time for my now least favorite part of the show, King's Court.
All hail, Jim Alexander, the Josh Trankiest of them all, Al Capone of the panel, although he truly losing his mind as he did in old age. Listen to his opinions and respect. Enjoy.
There you go. Thank you, Ryan, for this fabulous intro. I am the man of everything. And with everything comes the King's Court. Of course, we are keeping it live and real. The queen of the King's Court, my queen, Liv Morgan. Okay, she's the best.
Every week.
Because no one's going to dethrone her unless Mandy Rose ruined her chance with that ogre, but that's a whole different story. She's been expelled. Tegan Knox, you guys aren't giving me love for Tegan Knox. She's got plenty of love here in the King's Court. I'm bringing her on. Okay, Tegan Knox always has a place here. Chelsea Green always has a place because I love what you're doing with her on screen. She's a star in the making, and stars are always welcome at King's Court. My girl, Alexa Bliss, the Iconics I've been calling for. Things are busy here, okay? Besides Mandy Rose, we have a lot more room now. So King's Court's popping, man. Things are going good. We're keeping it safe. And we will not be doing – we are not foreseeing promos like Becky anytime soon. So there you go.
Wow, you very – okay, wow. Whatever. Shout out to Becky Lynch. She is with the child. Congratulations. Let's talk about this hour one main event. Cameron Grimes, who I have in my notes here, looks like a discount children's magician, had a match against Finn Balor, which he won with interference from Damian Priest. Damian Priest attacked Finn Balor 3 weeks ago, and he attacked him tonight, and Finn Balor got laid out, and Cameron Grimes... Emily May, that's what the match.
I can't... You can't... Flobo, you cannot intro it like that and then hand it over to me.
It's amazing! I was beside myself.
Are we in the Twilight Zone? I'm so confused. I don't know why this happened. Finn Balor is like Finn Balor. So how did this happen? And I don't like it.
It hurts so bad.
It hurts me so bad.
So what about it did you like? Because I can tell you what I hated about it, but what did you like about it?
I mean, you could tell that like, okay, Cameron Grimes is trying to like wreak some punishment and some havoc on Finn Balor, trying to make that happen, right? He's trying really hard. He's trying to get those, you know, trying to get the chops and trying to get it, right? And you could tell he's trying so hard. I'll give that to him.
Yeah.
And Finn Balor is always going to know what to do, how to elevate it, how to make this other person look incredible in the ring. I wish there was some like diverse move selections that they were doing. I feel like it was something I've seen before. And it's just a disappointment that I feel like Finn Balor would not have lost in the way that he did. I feel like it's not because he has such a track record of wins that it just didn't feel like he would have been put out in that way and for that pinfall loss.
Jim, go ahead. Talk about the match, dude. I don't want to be too negative, so I'll let you handle
it. What match? This travesty that's happening. Listen, Cameron Grimes, I've said it from day one. That dude ain't a magician. He's just hot garbage all around. I mean, the taco meat is never going to be in, especially on this guy. This dude should not even be wrestling the caliber of a Finn Balor. But here's the problem. It doesn't even matter about Cameron Grimes because he's irrelevant. He will always be irrelevant. He will. He's a played out act that's a bad gimmick, okay, going. And he's not that great in a ring to begin with. But it's about Finn Balor. What the hell are they doing with Finn Balor? 1 week it's Walter. I get it. Walter is circumstances, situation, you can't go overseas. Cool. Then you have the Dream. Okay, that could be interesting. Nope, they pulled the plug before it even began. Then you're feuding with I'm even forgetting, because every week it's literally they're changing it up on Finn Balor. He had like three different potential feuds in the last month. I literally am forgetting what feud he's supposed to be in, because there's no direction with him. They just keep on changing the route and pulling the plug, and it's going downward. It's spiraling quickly downward. It's not going upward. This guy, why hasn't he been like the NXT champion right now? They're holding the title like it's Adam Cole's possession, when Finn Balor is more rightfully at this point, it should be a champion on that brand, since he's come over. He made that sacrifice of leaving the main brand. And where is the direction with him? And now you're telling me you're going to give him Damian Priest, who clearly has not been over himself, who was lost in shuffle with my boy and Keith Lee in that feud. And he's kind of been a throwaway in another feud that he got squashed in. And now that's a big feud. And he loses Balor. This is a real travesty. This is a problem. I think this is going really fast, really bad for Balor. And they need to save him, because he's drowning.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wish... Oh, Clobo.
No, please, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I wish they took Finn Balor and did something like they're doing with Charlotte, where you have... you just get to go through, strategically through... the NXT roster, and you get to like strategically plan out kind of this competition, instead of making us feel like we're on edge every week where we're not sure if it makes sense or not.
Two cents. Yeah, it fell apart with Finn Balor. They banked everything versus him versus Walter. And when that fell through, they literally had no backup plan. They had no direction. First he's Finn Balor. Then he's the prince? I mean, that's the thing. They don't even know what character to roll with him, what gimmick. He's a face a bit. He's a heel. It's just a major mess what's going on with him from top to bottom. Even with he has no identity right now himself. They don't know what to work him as, what angle, what gimmick. It's a problem. It needs to be solved real quick.
Yeah, I agree. I think the main problem, forget Cameron Grimes, because I don't think it matters to him. But the whole part of the Prince, it seemed like he was going to be this guy with edge. If he wasn't going to be a straight on heel, he was going to be that heel who gets cheered, which I'm all here for. But what I saw tonight was classic babyface storytelling. It was a guy that could beat somebody else below him, but someone cheated, and then the guy climbed on his neck. So now it's Finn Balor as he's a face. I saw that in the main roster. I want the Prince. I want, if Damian Priest and Finn Balor are going to have a match, let's just say, you guys, NA title, let's go. I don't want this whole, like, you can do it, Finn, he's bigger than you. And that, to me, broke the whole mystique of the Prince. But we're running low on time. So before I do, it's now time for the lockdown playlist. See, if you're like me, you love NXT, but you're stuck inside, you want something to watch, this is what I do. I go and look back some episodes, some pay-per-views, some takeovers of past. I want to talk to you about the June 15th, 2016 edition of NXT for a lot of reasons. One, AOP was on fire. I forgot how dominant that tag team was when they were with Paul Ellering, who was still the best manager they ever had. Hidden gem, new Carmella, not even like the great Carmella that we have now. I mean, like the I'm Carmella and I'm the princess, had a match with Tessa Blanchard and Tessa out. Can you believe that? And of course, in our main event, we had Andrade Cien Almas. I mean, this is the time he was wearing the fedoras and the straps and the shiny blue pants. Had a match against the perfect 10 Ty Dillinger, which needs to remind you that Ty Dillinger was so over. Was such a star in NXT. On AEW, he's kind of just a guy, right? So if you have time,
Sean Spears, okay?
Yeah, just a guy. June 15, 2006 edition of NXT. Sean Spears, I guess he's important. I don't know. All right. Yeah. 10. Jack Gallagher had a match against Swerve because Tony Leese got mad that Swerve called him out inadvertently and beat the hell out of Swerve, and Jack Gallagher gets a win, I guess. Emily May, thoughts about this tournament? Now both Swerve and Jack Gallagher are eliminated from the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this kind of made sense. I feel like watching the other competitors throughout this tournament, I feel like these two might not have been the strongest, so I feel like it makes sense. I see some other ones kind of leading the pack.
Sure. Jim Alexander, Jack Farmer asked you this question in the chat. He says, is there anyone in the Cruiserweight division that could be a star right now in NXT?
From this tournament?
But anyone that's a Cruiserweight size, I guess.
No, not a star. I mean, maybe Jordan Devlin, but we need to see more of him. but not a star. I think someone could be over in a sense where, you know, they're a mid-carder, they're a viable champion for the cruiserweight title, like a Kushida. I think that's the only guy that could gain something out of it if there's something. But what are these guys? I mean, they're all small dudes that, you know, can work, but don't have really an established personality. Obviously, Kushida's got the best set gimmick and character. And, you know, the fans are behind Rockstar Spud or whatever the hell he's called these days.
Drake Maverick.
There you go. But I just don't see a star out of that. I don't think the Cruiserweight division ever really is a focus of making stars out of that division. So I just think as long as they can get on TV and defend the title on a weekly basis and get some, you know, time to work, that's a win in itself.
Sure. I agree with you. I guess time to work is okay, but there's stars in the making, I feel. Also a star in the making, or not, Aaliyah had a match with Caden Carter. Caden Carter was a lady I said will break out, and granted, half the year is almost over, but I still have hope. But Aaliyah looked like she was going to get scouted by Robert Stone Brand, but Robert Stone was not feeling her. Emily May, thoughts about the match, and were you intrigued that Robert Stone Brand got involved?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he's looking, he's scouting, he's trying to find some more talent to add to his brand. And it was interesting that like he wasn't necessarily interested. I feel like Aaliyah is really trying to, you know, she's been around NXT for a long time. She's really trying to make a statement. And I just feel bad that she still hasn't been able to kind of, I feel like it's gotten better the last few months and stuff, but I feel like she still hasn't found her groove yet.
Fair. Aaliyah look had a different look. Maybe it might be a star or something, Jim.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jim.
No, whatever, dude.
What I was gonna say is she did change up her look, and what I'm interested to know is if that affected her, like her status in the ring, if it affected kind of her way of doing things.
Yeah.
The bar is set extremely low for her, okay? Anything that gives her exposure, her showing up on TV is a win, even though she picks up losses all the time. Any sort of connection to Robert Stone Brand, a very viable, legitimate brand, is a good thing, okay? So there's no way but baby steps up for her, because she's the fairy godmother of the NXT brand. She's been around for too long to never get over. So anything is probably better right now than we've seen her in the past year. And Caden Cross is not getting over. She should be. I think she got a lot to offer, you know, backstory, personality, gimmick wise, but I don't even look wise, but I just don't think they really see it in her right now. So I just think it's two people we're putting together and that are not over. And finally someone gets a win.
I'm going to ask you both thoughts about possibly Aaliyah joining Robert Stone Brand. Would you want to see a tag team with Chelsea Green and Aaliyah, or just that ship is sailed?
No, Chelsea Green needs someone legit, like my girl Tegan Knox or someone like that. Someone that's kind of already in the middle pack that needs that slight boost. So together they could be a dominant force in that group, in that faction. So I just don't think Aaliyah's been over enough at all ever to even be warrant being that group. Chelsea
Isn't that
Green's
the point
over.
Of a faction, though, to get some people who are new and fresh?
Not someone's a career jobber. You need someone that's got someone that's on the rise, someone that's got potential. That's not someone that's got potential.
Well, the thing is, you could see it a different way, Jim, and the other part and other side of that tag team is someone that can help fill in where the other tag team partner is lacking. So it could be an opportunity for someone who might not have had as many opportunities in the ring or as much TV time to really help kind of elevate their brand, their individual brand, and learn a
lot
from someone.
You mean behind the scenes or on screen?
No, on screen.
Oh.
Yeah. Like you learn behind from the someone scenes, else. Yeah. You learn from someone else, and then you help fill in where things might be missing.
Hey, I'm not going to school to someone that failed Algebra 1 to learn something. That's Aaliyah to me. So if I want to learn math, I'm certainly not learning it from someone who failed Algebra 1. I want to
That's
go to
right.
someone who did calculus.
Jim will bear you academically in a wrestling show. Yep. That's the only premium content here at AfterBuzz TV. So, you know, before we get to our main event, let's talk about the Gargano house. All right. I know we had some issues with the heel Garganos and Candice LeRae and the new gimmick and all that. That's table stakes. We talked about that before, and all the Gargano fans are watching are kind of pissed at us because we always bury the guy. But I ask you this because we're a positive show on a positive network. Have we seen improvement week to week?
Hell no. This is painful to watch. I think
Gargano I tried.
I was like, yeah. And then he's like, no.
Hell no.
Hell no. Because this is Gargano. It's being forced to be a heel, which is something he's clearly and obviously not comfortable in. The guy looks incredibly uncomfortable doing these promos. They're so bad in acting. They're so forced. Let him be as a face. I mean, people will cheer for him. There's enough marks out there that like him. And at least he can play off his more regular personality. Seems like he's a nice guy in real life. So at least let him do it. Him trying to be a heel is bad. It's not believable. It's phony. It's cartoony. It's goofy. And I just think what they're even doing here, Candace, there's something to be gained potentially because we've seen her as a face that hasn't done anything for her. So her being a heel at least gives something fresher and new that we haven't seen. They change up her look. So there's some at least hope with that, but not with Johnny, man. And the way they did this segment, I think even to their detriment, the goofy theatrics of it, the black and white, the stupid sound effect they were using, I just thought it was so
bad. See, Jim, I actually agree with you. I think the sound effect is what killed it. But you just told me I can't nitpick someone over their song choice. But now I can't over sound effects?
But that was not a sound. That was a whole thing. That was a whole presentation. That was a presentation. You had the black and white thing, which made no sense. The blurriness, that was so stupid. None of it made any sense. It was just thrown into like, that's like someone playing with Premiere, Adobe Premiere editing and trying out new equipment and their software. It just doesn't make sense. Let them at least talk normally.
I have to say they are consistent because we've seen these promos with dinner with the Garganos. Like we've seen it. It's the same look. It's the same feel. Right. So I can say they are at least staying consistent. I would say that right now it's still really hard to believe that he's, you know, that they're heels right now. But I think it's just a point where they're just going to have to really figure out how they say it and make it effective.
I'm more interested in what they're eating than what they're talking about. That's for sure.
I am too. Why is it always half done?
Like, I am kind of intrigued.
Promo first and then eat afterwards. It's kind of gross, but it's kind of gross. Let's talk about our main event. The Nudie Bros Are No More. Matt Riddle actually won his match against Timothy Thatcher, but he paid for it in the middle of the ring, bro. Emily May. I know. I hate when best friends fight, man. Welcome.
I hate it. I hate when friends fight. It's the worst. I'm going to have to say I am so impressed with Thatcher tonight. He was so incredible. His agility, his athleticism. I loved like his grappling, very intricate holds. And if I felt like I was watching an old school wrestling match where it was just really like old school feel to it. And I feel like both of them together was a perfect match, perfect pairing. That really highlighted both of their strengths.
Jim, what's up?
Well, here's the thing. I think it was a good showing. I mean, clearly Thatcher is a good mat-based wrestler. He's very skilled in the fundamentals, right? He's good with submission. So I think him, the parallel with him and Riddle is good because Riddle's more of like a, you know, fast-paced jiu-jitsu kind of guy, and then you put him with a mat-based guy who's heavy on submission and moves. I think it's an interesting pairing. I think they worked well and had a really solid match all around, and Thatcher came out looking good, and I mean Riddle still is doing good at what he does, so I think the match was solid. It was contrasting styles, and I think they'll carry on a little feud going on here. I think it's solid for now. I would have liked to wait a couple weeks so there's more heat to it. It's just kind of too abrupt for them to build that heat. That turn still could have happened with a couple more weeks, but at least they'll work. We know that they'll work well in the ring together because it seems like their contrasting styles actually fit together and they both are good workers.
Yeah.
It was interesting to me when Riddle was getting his, I guess, his match made by William Regal via tablet. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have conflict sightings old school on Raw, but we can talk matches and tablets now. Just think about that. I thought he was talking to Pete Dunne. I think that would be a cool storyline. Be like, oh, yeah. Man, yo, man, it's crazy. Look, man, I didn't know. I thought that was going to happen, but it wasn't involved.
I have to say, Flobo, I thought that too, because you couldn't really tell who it was on the tablet yet. And I was like, oh, man, maybe he called Pete Dunne and tried to, like, tell, you know.
Yeah. What's Pete Dunne going to do? Send him a handwritten letter in the mail?
It's nothing he could do physically, but I think there's ways to get characters over. You know exactly. What I mean? I
think they're going to forget about him. I think this was made so abruptly to kind of forget about Pete Dunne for a while because we're not going to see him. Like this, every time it lingers with the title, you think of Pete Dunne still, and now it's a clean break. I think you can forget about Pete Dunne from the audience perspective. That's why they kind of rushed it.
Yeah. Well, speaking of out of time because of, you know, constraints, it's at the end of the NXT After Show here at AfterBuzz TV Wrestling and Sports. If you love wrestling content on this network, stick around. AEW's up right after us, right here with Jack Farmer, who also interviewed Vince Russo. So if you got time, according to the stars, check that out as well. But before we get out of here, Emily May, where can the world find you online?
Awesome. You can find me on all social media platforms at Emily May Heller. You can catch, we had a Women's Wrestling Weekly interview today. It's up on the YouTube channel
with Amy
Rose from Ring of Honor. So go check it out.
I thought she said Mandy Rose. I was like, yo, I'm actually going to check it out.
Wow.
Wow. Thanks for the support, Jim.
Well, I'm just, you know.
And then Friday, we're covering Total Bellas here on AfterBuzz channels at 7 o'clock. So join us. We have lot to cover.
Sure. Jim Alexander.
Speaking of coverage, I'm
going to hang with Josh Trank.
Hey, he won me over. Okay. There's a lot to check out in that interview. The guy opens up. I build a lot of respect for him. So those of you fans of Fantastic Four or Chronicle, his previous work, it's a good check. It's going to be up at Real Talker. And of course the Patreon page. Thanks to Flobo's setting me up behind the scenes, at Patreon.the Jim Alexander, just like my social media. So check it out there. Josh Trank coming soon. I have some more bigger interviews coming up too. So a lot of good stuff happening. Stargirl. I got an interview with the kid from Stargirl. So another CW show.
Yep. Look, man, AfterBuzz TV Wrestling and Sports has the best host on the planet. My name is Flobo Boys. You can follow me at Twitter, at Flobo Boys, on Instagram, at Flobito, and of course, Flobito.com. Two ways.
Show that shirt.
Two ways to support a creative in this time. You can get your t-shirts over at Flobito.threadless.com. And I'm also on Patreon, patreon.com/Flobo Boys. I love to see your support. Thank you so much. But until next time, buzz you later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.